All right. Welcome aboard for a Thursday. Another abbreviated show tonight. We go until 6, and then it's Tom Izzo from 6 until 7, and then the Red Wings are in New Jersey tonight, and we'll have that for you at 7 o'clock here on WPHM. But because it's a short show, it doesn't mean it won't be a good one. It will be a good one because Matt Shook is along, and it's always a good one when he joins us on the program. How you doing?
That's right. We are going to make it a great one today. Absolutely. How about that?
Let's start with Michigan State, and tell me about this new football coach, because I don't know him.
Yeah, I mean, he's been all over the place, right? But only 1 year as a head coach. It just seems like with the resume that maybe he would have gotten chances before that. I know he was the interim coach with the Jacksonville Jaguars for a short bit as well. But, I mean, you look at Michigan State, you look at Ohio State, you look at Alabama, you look at Georgia, and then into the NFL with Jacksonville and into the Chicago Bears as well, and then you throw the Colorado head coaching job. I mean, really kind of a resume that's beyond reproach, really good, and working under all the great coaches across the college football landscape, Nick Saban 3 different times, Mark D'Antonio as well, and throw Jim Tressel in there. So he's worked under some really good football minds. Obviously, the lack of head coaching experience stands out. Just 1-5-7 season with the Colorado Buffaloes, but everything seems like everything was kind of on the rise there. You know, obviously, with how bad they're taking the news in the state of Colorado, it seems like he was pretty well liked, and everyone seemed to think like he had a pretty good grasp on what needed to be done there to move things in the right direction. So I think it's a good hire for Michigan State. Obviously, they're in a much better place than they were 24 hours before the whole thing happened, and the fact that it was so sloppy and botched by the Beekmans and Board of Trustees of the world is maybe some of the reason, and probably some of the reason, why the contract offer had to be so big to get Mel Tucker to kind of bail him out there. So I think that all those factors kind of combined into what we have. But at the end of the day, it's a pretty good result for the Michigan State football program.
You know, it's not as bad at MSU as the 80s Miami program,
mm-hmm.
but they sure do have a lot of away from the field issues at MSU that are really, I think, starting to really haunt this program, and not just football, but especially football.
Yeah, you kind of wonder why there wasn't more of a house cleaning done with, athletic director being someone who was connected to the Board of Trustees before Bill Beekman was hired to the post. And, like you said, for all that happened there, and I know Luana Simon kind of fell on the sword a little bit there with everything that happened, but there's so much bad with, especially, obviously, the Larry Nassar, which transcends the discussions that we have here about sports week in and week out on the radio here. But, obviously, I just don't think enough change has been done, enough change has been made. There hasn't been enough blood on that. You know, there hasn't been enough people that kind of took the fall for all the wrong that had happened in Michigan State. But, you know, Mel Tucker can't be judged on that, and you have to kind of let him see what happens with his football program, give him a few years. He's got a 5-year contract, so obviously you would expect him to have at least 3 years of a runway to get what he's got going and see what we see what happens. And he seems like he's going to be a no-nonsense guy and a really good recruiter who's proved that at every college stop he's had, including in the state of Ohio and even in Metro Detroit as well. So he's a guy that you can kind of hope that kind of cleans house a little bit with the program and has enough money with the assistant coaching pool where he can kind of bring in his own talent. And probably, I would imagine, you won't see a lot of holdovers from the Mark D'Antonio staff, and that Tucker can put his own stamp on this program.
You know, and I think that would make people happy. Look, they're going to be bad next year, and it's not this guy's fault.
Sure.
And I said it on yesterday's show, we're so big on first impressions in our sports in the Detroit market and in the state of Michigan. And if this guy has a bad first year, sometimes that's all that some fans will remember, no matter what happens after that. And I just think people got to relax a little bit on next season and not really have high expectations on the Spartans.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you lose the key members on defense that they're losing, with obviously Bocci, who was out even before the end of the season, and Willekes and Raekwon and Josiah, just guys that were controlling that defense that was strong. They're all gone. Obviously, you don't have any quarterback of any kind of experience or really that much talent to be all that excited about. That's a position that's going to have to be figured out down the road. So, yeah, it's the cupboard is bare. And even if Mark D'Antonio stuck around and stayed with next season, this was going to be a below the middle of the pack team in the Big Ten, even with Coach D there. So I think that, like you said, I think people will give him some credit. Hopefully it doesn't get too embarrassing. You don't want to get beat by 5 touchdowns by Michigan or anything like that. But certainly there's going to be some runway for some losses. And hopefully people give him a fair shake throughout the state.
You're not a big Rocky fan?
Not a big Rocky guy, no, unfortunately.
Is it just me, or does he remind you of the quarterback from Remember the Titans?
Yeah, obviously the long blonde hair, yeah, sunshine. But, I think that the more and more he played throughout his career, I think the less and less excited people were for him to take over. Certainly he's probably the front runner to be the incumbent starter. Maybe some rabbits in the hat pulled out here during the summer, notwithstanding. But I think that, this Theo Day as well is a guy who could be in the mix for that. Another, I think Divine Child is where he maybe came out of, another Metro Detroit guy as well that adds some things. I don't know, Kim is a quarterback prospect that's coming in here with this signing class that some people are excited about, but certainly not a super high-rated talent at quarterback. So I think that's going to be Mel Tucker's charge, and he's going to take a recruiting class for next year, that he's going to probably find his guy, and then by maybe year three, he'll have his own kind of new starter in there, and then that's probably the time when you can start judging whether the wins and losses are showing that he's getting the job done or not.
Yeah, that goes back to that first impression thing, because, yeah, when Rocky came in there a couple of years ago, everybody was excited because he had a good half against somebody. And we did the same thing a couple of years ago at Michigan. Spaith did something, and it was great. Then O'Korn went in, and he did something for a quarter, and it was great. And then Peters went in there, and it was great. And then it ended up all not being all that great after a while.
Yeah, of course, Michigan's got their own quarterback situation now, and McCaffrey, who's probably the front runner there, but certainly hasn't shown that he's someone who's been able to be healthy because of his style of play. And then you got Joe Milton kind of on the sidelines as well, the shadow of McCaffrey. So, yeah, some big quarterback questions after a couple of guys that, were solid for you in Lewerke and Patterson, but certainly didn't take it to the level that people had hoped when they arrived and when they started showing a little bit of promise early on in their times in Ann Arbor and East Lansing.
Yeah, I'm not big on rotating the quarterbacks, but why not? Because Milton can throw, and McCaffrey is very exciting when he runs.
Yeah, you can certainly see that happening. They put in McCaffrey at times before he got hurt with Shea Patterson, really on the field at the same time with Shea Patterson at times too. But yeah, you could see Jim Harbaugh getting a little creative there, or maybe letting the quarterback competition roll into the regular season a little bit, as opposed to making that determination in training camp. But obviously the specter of Ohio State looms around everything Michigan. So it's always kind of one of those catch-22s where even if Harbaugh wins some games early on and in the Big Ten season, it's not really going to matter until November.
All right, let's shift gears now, and let's talk about the Pistons. The trade deadline has come and gone. They only made the one move, getting rid of Andre Drummond, and really all that move did was free up a lot of money for them this offseason. An exciting game with the Magic, but another loss for the Pistons, who are trying to find themselves. But one guy that might have a bright future here is Christian Wood.
Yeah, Christian Wood's playing well. And even on the road now, I talked about a lot on the podcast that he was a guy who seemed to play well at Little Caesars Arena, but was a little bit inconsistent and maybe snake bit on the road a little bit. But he got it done at Oklahoma City on Friday night, and then again last night against Orlando, another big game. And a couple of losses there too, which of course is good for the Pistons right now. You want that draft position to be getting better the rest of the season. You also want young guys like Christian Wood to play well. So I killed two birds with one stone there. The Pistons have a big decision to make with Christian Wood. He is an unrestricted free agent this coming season. They have the cap space to give him a bigger contract than most other teams in the NBA, who will only have the mid-level exception to offer, which will be about $8 or $9 million a year. And if the Pistons use up all their cap space on other moves, they can still bring Christian Wood back under the early bird rights provision, to where they can offer Christian Wood about a $10 million contract per season at least two, up to four seasons. So they'll have some options to bring him back. And I think the way that he's playing right now, that's pretty much a no-brainer that they're going to want him back into the fold. But also good with the Andre Drummond trade, that opens up the guaranteed flexibility that they're able to have some cap space to really spend for him if there becomes a bidder's market for him out there in the NBA.
He's worth the risk, though, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're the Pistons right now. What else are you going to spend your money on, right? You don't want to go out and get veterans that are going to be high-priced. And is, with that cap space, re-upping Christian Wood for 3 years, something like $30, $35 million total in those 3 years, I think that's a move that you should really make, and certainly a no-brainer usage of that cap space.
Is it time that we take a step back and remember that Sekou Doumbouya is a teenager?
Well, first of all, I love that you pronounced his name correctly. Good job. There's not a lot, even Mark Champion, we love Mark Champion, Doumbouya. So I hammer this home on my podcast. It's Booyah like Stuart Scott, but it's Ya instead of Boo that's emphasized. So good job on that, Dennis.
Thank you.
Sekou Doumbouya. But a lot of people are going Boya, and that's not right. Booyah, just like that, but Ya more emphasized. But yeah, he's 19 years old. He's the youngest player in the NBA. He's shown more than I expected at the NBA level, even if the season ended today. So I'm kind of looking at it more of a positive approach. Sure, I just think he's exhausted. Going into the All-Star break, I'm looking forward to seeing Sekou after getting a week off or so, getting away from basketball, hopefully. Just keep in mind that this kid's not only 19 years old, but he's living in the United States for the first time. And these guys, he's playing professionally over in France. He's getting ready for the draft. He's dealing with agents. He's doing his pre-draft workout. He's getting drafted. He's going to summer league workouts. He's playing in summer league. He's getting acclimated to the United States. He hasn't been home in months now. I mean, this is, think about when you went away to school for your freshman year of college or something like that. How ready were you to start your professional life at that point? I know he's paid well and treated a little bit better than the rest of us were in the dorms maybe our freshman year, but I think that that's something to keep in mind, that Sekou's going to still show you some moments here the last part of the season, but as far as how things have gone for his rookie year at 19 years old, coming out of the second division France League, I think he's already exceeded all expectations, and that's something to keep in mind as he's struggling at some of these games and disappearing at times for the Pistons in his rookie season.
If I had to pick a Piston player who has to have a good finish here, come out of the All-Star break and play well the rest of the season, for me, it's Thonmaker.
Yeah, he's playing for his NBA life right now. I mean, this is a guy who struggled so big for the first third of the season, really the first half of the season. Everyone wanted him to not get the minutes that he was. And he's a restricted free agent this season, this summer for the Pistons, so they can match any offer. But the problem is the way he was playing in the first half of the season, there wasn't going to be any offers. That said, since the trade deadline, he's showing signs of life. He's scoring at times. He's pretty good defensively in terms of blocking shots. But he's a guy who has not rebounded at all this season. And with Andre Drummond being gone, he was kind of the de facto team rebounder when he was here. So with Drummond being gone, and obviously Drummond's going to be gone next year too, if he's going to play his way onto a spot on the Detroit Pistons roster next year and possibly even to the end of the rotation as well, he's going to have to up that game as far as his rebounding, and he's going to have to continue to develop offensively as well. Like I said, the first 10 days or so that he's been given the opportunity so far, it's gone pretty well, and he's got to keep that momentum going for the rest of the season, because like I said, he's a young guy, and I'm sure some team will take a chance on him if the Pistons don't want to be that team, but he's really fighting for his NBA life right now.
All right, tell him about the podcast.
Yeah, we're going every day still, and we're kind of transitioning to development and draft and all that kind of talk as the season goes on, but it's called Locked On Pistons. You can follow it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts, you can find it every day.
All right. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thanks, Dennis. Talk to you soon.
Yep, we'll talk to you. There's Matt Shook on the program. Going to take a break here, but we'll be back with plenty more going until 6 o'clock tonight. Then it's the Tom Izzo Show from 6 until 7, followed by Red Wing Hockey at 7 o'clock here on WPHM. So a really, really busy night for you sports-wise.